Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, and Steve Jordahl is in with us. Steve from American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Walker. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Steve.
And good afternoon, everybody on the East Coast.
Hey, Ray, one question that we want to get Steve jump into the news of the hour here. I have a question for you. Walker mentioned the standard for the biblical standard for, deciding whether somebody is guilty or not of a crime or a misdeed. Everything that's wrong is not a crime. You do something wrong, maybe unethical, but it's not criminal. And Walker said two witnesses. First of all, is that a standard? And secondly, still, even with that standard in place, most people are intelligent enough to deduct circumstances and testimony of multiple people and come to a conclusion on a case, whether or not that can be proven in a court of law or not. So I think, go ahead.
Well, what Walker said was entirely right, that if you go back to the Old Testament, that's the standard for a trial in ancient Israel, that before anybody could be accused of rape, before anybody could be accused of adultery or convicted of it, let's say that, before anybody could be found guilty. And because back then, you know, if you were guilty of adultery, you could be stoned, right? Mm-hmm. So they had a high standard. There had to be minimum of two and better three witnesses. And that same principle is carried over into the New Testament. Don't receive an accusation against an elder mm-hmm. without two or three witnesses. That's one part of it. So we're just talking about the legal proceedings, right? But then you're also bring up the point, everybody out there has to come to some, I'm not going to say conclusion, but some opinion. And I think in cases like stuff that happened 38 or 40 years ago, what's the average bystander to do where you have people on one side and then you have a man who says adamantly and repeatedly, I didn't do it. My guess is a lot of people on Tuesday who voted for Roy Moore finally said, I don't know what to make of it. Either I don't believe it, or I don't know what to make of it. I don't have enough information to make a decision. Better to say that than to say, I absolutely believe this man is guilty. I don't see how anybody could conclusively determine that at this point.
But it appears some Christian leaders even, we cited Beth Moore's tweet, and we're not criticizing Beth Moore out of thin air here, and I don't, right. as I said, to talk about other Christian people or leaders for having different opinions that are not necessarily my own.
And we're not calling for a boycott teachings, and a lot of our listeners have benefited from her.
Absolutely.
And it's excellent.
I found it completely inappropriate for her to tweet the night of the election that basically what she's tweeting is, because Roy Moore lost, little girls are safe. Or safer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, am I unfair?
That's what I got from it. And it's important to mention that if Ms. Moore is willing to enter the public discussion on her public Twitter account, then we are free here to discuss her comments.
Yeah. So on politics, I just don't identify Beth Moore with talking about politics. That's why I'm kind of surprised.
Well, and historically she hasn't.
Right.
She has not. So, it's been more of a recent thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Steve Jordahl, what's up, man?
Let me just give you the latest that we have on this.
The world's pretty good right now in this hour, Steve.
The world is peace on earth.
Okay.
Goodwill toward men.
Okay, I think you're plagiarizing there, but go ahead.
I might be. the latest on the Thomas Fire, this is the one that is north of Ventura heading towards Santa Barbara. Just some quick figures. It, as of midnight last night or this morning, 238,500 acres have been burned. It is 30% contained. It has destroyed 921 buildings, including many homes, and it has cost the state, well, the public, it will end up costing them $68.7 million. And here is what is so discouraging to me if I was around there. They expect to have full containment on this fire January 7th.
That's a long way
out. That's a long way out before they have this fire contained And that's not out. That's contained.
What happens, Steve, in a situation like this where you have – I mean, I've never experienced anything like this at all, so I've just mm-hmm. watched it on television. But you have these fires that you're talking about, and they are continuing to go and to mm-hmm. spread.
Right.
And so they're burning down everything in their path, true?
Yes.
Because they because they're unable to contain it, and you're saying they can they're predicting containing it by this. So what happens? Practically speaking, these people are displaced.
You get out of the way.
But you can't go. You go home and everything's burned to the ground, right?
Yeah, and we went through this. I went not personally, but I had very close friends who went through this in Colorado Springs. 2 years running, they had massively destructive fires in there, the Black Forest Fire and then the other one that I can never bring the name up of. But, I remember we went down on multiple occasions and bought flats of water from Costco or Sam's Club just to take to the shelters. Churches were opening their doors to house homeless people or people whose houses have been burned down. And then, of course, the government and insurance companies certainly act as quick as they can, but it takes a number of days or weeks before they can figure out claims and that kind of stuff. And so people are moving in with family, with friends, on the floors of churches. Some of them will never go back to their neighborhoods. Some of them will rebuild, and then you have the odd, unfortunate, I say this a little bit sarcastically, but odd, unfortunate person whose house survived in the middle of, it's not
when everything
unheard of.
When everything else,
else around them, the whole block will go up in flames and be destroyed except for one house. For whatever reason, that one house was spared. So everybody else, mm-hmm. A year from now, everybody else on the block will have a brand new house, and this other person will have the old house that now forever will smell like smoke. And
what about insurance companies? Would they pull out of?
No, they're generally pretty good. What happens is they usually have somebody that comes. All the major insurance companies will have somebody that comes. They coordinate with the city. They open up City Hall or some place where people can go to your insurance company. And the insurance companies generally will start writing checks that day for things like hotels, food. Clothing,
but
anything.
I'm just wondering. Maybe the day will come, much like you have the hurricane situation. Remember, after Katrina hit mm-hmm. on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and New Orleans and other places, and then other hurricanes, you hear stories about the insurance companies just aren't going to offer insurance for.
Oh, you mean down the road they can't?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if the wildfires continue to plague California on an ongoing basis, could maybe I know I'm just speculating. You're not an insurance specialist, but I'm just wondering if insurance companies may say, we'll insure you for a house fire that starts from a bad electrical outlet, but wildfires, we're not going to, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know that that's going to be possible. I think you have to, the bank will insist that you have insurance before they'll give you a loan for a house. And, of course, in California, you can't come close to getting a house without a loan because you can't get anything there that's under, $800,000 hardly, especially on the coast here. These are very expensive places to live. So what will happen is your insurance rates will certainly probably go up as the risk.
Is Santa Barbara safe?
Santa Barbara's not safe. It's heading right towards Santa Barbara, and I'm sure that's effort number one to contain the fire. But no, it's heading right there.
And that's the next most populated area that it's targeting.
That's the largest population area that it's targeting, and I don't think you could have all of Santa Barbara in ashes, but what you're going to have is the neighborhoods that are on the southernmost part or the easternmost part of the city are in danger.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
We just found out a couple hours ago, maybe an hour ago, that Representative Blake Fahrenthold of Texas, who's in the House of Representatives, he is not going to run for re-election next year. On the after facing sexual harassment allegations from a number of people, staffers and such. So
is he a Republican?
He is a Republican from Texas, and
we're
this
keeping
is
score.
Well, I haven't been keeping score. I do know that for right now, the Democrats have had a whole lot more people than the Republicans have. Although, here's what it will be argued.
You mean that have had to resign because of allegations of sexual harassment, et cetera.
And part of that you will hear from the media, and it might be true. Democrats are certainly handling this with a little bit more of an iron fist. When someone like Al Franken or John Conyers is accused, based on the political stuff that was going on with Roy Moore and possibly having him in the Senate, they just kick him right out.
I don't know if I agree with that, Steve. It took the icon a little while. Nancy Pelosi wasn't quick to go after him.
No.
I'm talking about Conyers.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if I agree with your assessment there of how the parties.
Well, I'm saying that's what you're going to hear. I don't know if it's exactly accurate.
But you know what? This is going to continue to go on.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, Ray, if you resign, you're guilty.
Well,
or you don't want your family. Maybe that's a wrong assumption, but I just
maybe you'll say I don't want to put my family through this. I don't believe this is true. I deny the allegations, but I don't want to put my family through it. And if you say that, what are people going to assume?
You assume you're guilty.
That's exactly right.
This is Representative Blake Farenthold, Farenthold. He's faced allegations of sexual harassment, inappropriate behavior from former staff members. So he's a Republican. I don't know where he's from in Texas. Is he from the Dallas area? Do you know?
I don't think he's Dallas.
Okay.
I'll find out.
Another one bites the dust, as it were, in Congress. I'll tell you another thing, guys, is I read news at night a lot on my patio, and so I scan two or three news sites, and inevitably, Ray, you do this too. I know you follow.
Yes,
Walker does all this. Well, we're all news junkies here.
Yes,
so we're watching the news. You can hardly refresh the page without somebody else, in positions of power, either being accused or resigning over sexual allegations.
And let me add this to the mix. This is a new one for me, and I don't know. I guess it's laudable, but a filmmaker named Morgan Spurlock came out the other day and says he's part of the problem.
Who is he, for those who don't know?
Well, he's a if you ever saw the film Super Size Me, it was kind of a mock documentary about eating the way we eat in America. He's the guy behind that.
Yeah.
And he has come out and said that he is responsible for sexual misconduct in his past, and he details some of what he is responsible for. Here's the thing. Nobody's accused him. He sees the thing coming, maybe, or he feels a pang of guilt. But despite the fact that nobody has said anything about them, he says that he had various sexual misconduct things, including, he says, "I have been unfaithful to every wife and girlfriend I have ever had," he admitted.
That's
what he says.
Well, this is coming to a surprise to some. But if we reflect on the state of our country, specifically the spiritual state of our country, which all of us know what that is, the divorce rate is very high, is over 50%. Even it's very high amongst churchgoers, Christians, and our country, our highest court in our country has approved of marriage between two people of the same sex 2 years ago. So the fact that there is sexual impropriety and sexual immorality, to be honest, in our country should not be a surprise. You know, if we're going to have such a high divorce rate and we're going to accept same-sex marriage, why is it a surprise that people are behaving inappropriately, you know? So this is good that this stuff is coming to light.
Well, Travis Smiley is a well-known PBS television show host, and yesterday it was announced, Ray, that he's gone. from PBS right, been, of the same
right,
type
he's
thing.
Done. His show is canceled. And wouldn't you say, Steve, he was one of their big stars?
Tavis Smiley, I haven't listened to a whole lot, but yes, he and Garrison Keillor, I think, would be two of the biggest. And
Charlie Rose, they're not going to have anybody left.
That's right, Charlie Rose. So PBS getting hit hard.
They're going to have to bring in the Cookie Monster to host the show there.
You know, and I just think it goes to the...
That was good, Tim.
Yeah. Filling in for Charlie Rose tonight, who's...
Just the Cookie Monster.
Then the next day, we're going to find out the Cookie Monster sexually harassed.
Oh, no.
Somebody on the... I better stop right there. Go ahead, Steve. I'm stopping right there.
I think, Ray, you can probably cite the number of scriptures, but this is the difference between the liberal view of the world and the conservative view of the world. And it's odd because liberals believe that man is by nature good and that if we just prod him in the right direction, mm-hmm. he will become good, reform. And that's why you have these people hoping for a building towards a utopia that as we progress and get more intelligent and more aware of things, we're going to solve all the world's problems and have a Star Trek universe, you know. But conservatives, from a biblical perspective, Ray, I think you can confirm this, think that man is basically sinful and capable of great wrong, and only through the saving grace of Jesus Christ is there a change in nature. That doesn't mean that everybody who is a non-Christian is evil or that they are going to commit evil things, but it is the restraining grace of God and the Holy Spirit that is responsible for what good comes out of humanity.
I'm reminded, Steve, of something that Michael Cromartie, who passed away not too many weeks ago, he made a comment. He's with one of those study tanks up in Washington, D.C., a great thinker. And back a few years ago when one of the Louisiana senators was gotten in trouble over some moral issues and they wanted to know what he thought about it, was he shocked? He said, "I'm never surprised by vice. I'm surprised by virtue." And I think in a way that pretty much is the Christian position. Not surprised by vice, because evil is well distributed along the human spectrum, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I mean, if you start reading what Paul says in Romans 3, the indictment of every human being on planet Earth, climaxing in the great statement, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Well, this is the Christmas season. This is why Christ had to come, because left to ourselves, we have made a mess of everything. And if God didn't come and save us, if he didn't redeem us, we would destroy ourselves and our planet, and we seem pretty far bent on it anyway. And that is the difference between the liberal view and the conservative view. The conservative view has a biblically pessimistic or maybe biblically realistic view of human nature. We're not surprised by vice. We're surprised by virtue. And we understand that men, well, we're not morally neutral. We have rebelled and run away from God. And when people run away from God, as Jan Markell pointed out in the last hour, we are living in a Romans 1 culture. This is what happens when a culture altogether, says, "God, we don't want you anymore. This is what you get."
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Those were the comments of our co-host, Ray Pritchard. Ray with us today as he is on Tuesdays and Thursdays to co-host the program. American Family Radio, Walker, tell our listeners all the ways people can listen to AFR.
Yes, they can simply go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and listen 24/7 there to the radio feed. Also, you can download our app on your smartphone or tablet device, American Family Radio, on your app store.
Okay, and join us on our Today's Issues Facebook page, where we're live video feeding the show to you, and you can comment there and access also the stories we talk about. By the way, I think I said Travis Smiley, and his name is Tavis. There's no R. T-A-V-I-S. Shouldn't have got that wrong. Steve didn't get it wrong. He announce it correctly, but he's gone. He and Charlie Rose and now also Garrison Keillor, all out at PBS. Matt Lauer. My word, the list. It's every day. It's somebody new. So there is a cleansing going on here from our country about from people who sexually harass and or abuse women. All right, Steve, what else you got?
Let's end with a little bit lighter news. I'd like to introduce to you a new file we will probably use but once. This is from the Whoops file. What happened again? Well, the Marine Corps is apologizing after, for the second time, it dropped parts of flying airplanes on Japanese schools. Now, the fact that it was schools was an accident, but a couple of weeks ago, a little cylinder dropped off of a plane and fell down. Didn't hurt anybody, but then a whole window fell out of a plane and landed on a nursery school and injured a little girl, I think it was. So I think they could, the military could use their money to do some infrastructure changes.
A window? You're saying a window fell out?
A window.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at a picture of this thing. I'll hold it up to the camera for all of you in Facebook Live land. But, yeah, not a good day for our Marines in Japan.
So a window fell out of the plane.
A window fell right out of the plane and landed.
We need some new super glue.
We do. We do.
There, I'll tell you what, Marines, we got the Air Force and Navy. I knew they had jets. Are you telling me the Marines?
Sure, Marines. Top Gun was a Marine aviator.
I missed that somewhere.
In fact, all aviators that are naval aviators, I think part of the Marines. And I'd like to give a shout out to Haley. Haley is one of our people who contacted us at snowflakes@afa.net, and she suggested a new file. I think I used it once. I'm going to use it again. I got three entries into the Grinch file.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are.
That's so good.
The town of Nazareth, where Jesus was born, is canceling Christmas. No Christmas because of President Trump's decision to put the embassy or to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So Nazareth and the Palestinian Authority that controls that territory is Grinch candidate number one. Grinch candidate number two, a Boston professor name of Kina Hamill, says that Jingle Bells is a racist song.
Who says that?
I saw that this morning.
Kina Hamill. She's a theater history professor at Boston University. She told the Globe that the racial history of the song has remained hidden behind its local and seasonal affectations, but blackface racist origins have subtly and systematically removed it from our history.
I'm just going through the verse.
Yeah, you're not going to find it in the verse. It's
hidden?
Yes. And this is the last one, and our music is starting. I'm afraid I can't play
save
what I was going to play.
Save it for Monday if you want to.
Well, no, I'll just say this. The University of College in London is apologizing because it played a racist song, and it was a Christmas song. What did they play? I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Oh, please.
And that they are apologizing because they were insensitive to play that.
Oh, man. Snowflakes are melting across the country.
They are, aren't they?
Jingle bells. That can't be right.
Well, Jingle bells. I'm going to be thinking on this one for a little while.
I don't think you'll find it in the lyrics. I think you'll find it.
Subliminal.
He says, this professor, he or she, I don't even know what kind of person kind of is.
All right. Thank goodness. We got Trivia Friday tomorrow.
That's right.
We'll see you back here then, folks. Have a great day.